everybody. This is Chris.
And Kathy.
We wanted to take a minute to thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate every listener and are grateful for this platform.
Please help us share our vision by subscribing to our show through your favorite streaming app. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Petability Podcast.
Check out our ever-growing list of affiliates and sponsors. Simply go to the show notes for information and links.
And be sure to use our promo code PETPOD22, that's PETPOD22, on checkout to receive your discount from our affiliates. And now here's a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Alon Landa, CEO of MedcoVet, and I'm a proud sponsor of Petability. We decided to partner with Chris and Kathy because, like them, we want to empower all pet owners who are trying to do the most for their pets. At MedcoVet, we specialize in advanced home laser therapy for pets. Laser therapy is a safe and effective treatment for common conditions like arthritis and wounds, and it relieves pain for most conditions caused by inflammation. With MedcoVet, pet owners can perform this treatment at home while receiving support from experienced clinicians. If you think your pet would benefit from healing at home, visit MedcoVet.com, and one of our clinical experts will work with you to determine if home laser therapy is the right fit for you and your pet. Tell them Petability sent you.
Welcome to Petability. I'm your host, Kathy Simons.
And I'm your host, Chris Cranston. Our podcast provides interviews and information to help your pets live their best lives.
Hey, Chris, good morning.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How's it going on your end?
It's going well, although I wasn't paying real close attention to my dogs this morning while I was having my coffee and reading the paper. And I could kind of hear something, but I chose to ignore it. And when I looked up, the entire living room was filled with the fuzzies from inside a toy.
Some murder scene.
It was the beloved hedgehog. Yeah. And fortunately, my dogs don't eat the stuffing, but I always find it amazing, like how much fiber fill comes out of one little toy.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, well, if, you know, maybe I had something from a dog's best life box that wouldn't be so easily destroyed,
right?
That wouldn't have happened. So
and there's multiple things in the box. So if something, you know, if they did destroy something, unlikely, but if they did, there's still more stuff in the box.
Exactly. And I tend to have those items, you know, that come in the box kind of coveted, right? I keep right. them in the pantry, and we bring them out for special times, you know, focusing right. on enrichment.
Right.
And right. And again, just mentioning that it is such a great value, because if you get the monthly fulfillment kit, it costs $45. You might think, that's kind of expensive, but it's a $75 value.
I know.
And
right?
then, yeah. And then the quarterly box, get this, Kathy, $155 value for $85.
Right. Plus shipping. You can't beat that. You can't beat that.
Yeah. And again, it's handpicked quality stuff. So,
right. And if you want to get a subscription box from a dogsbestlifebox.com and you use our promo code PETPOD22, PETPOD22, all capital letters, you're going to get a 10% discount on your first order.
Yep. 10% off and a Scout and About compact training pouch that's nice, waterproof, nice. Clips on, and has a squeaker.
I have it. I use it for my nose work classes. That's great.
Awesome.
So anyway, Chris, I have to tell you about how excited I am about today's guest. I was watching television the other day, so I'm just flipping through the channels, you know, and I come across the Bissell commercial, which I'm not paying that much attention to until I see in the commercial that there's a two-legged dog in a front-end wheelchair. I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that I was seeing this.
And you contacted me immediately. You're like, oh my God, you have to see this.
Immediately. I contacted everybody I knew. You're not going to believe this. You know, because rarely do we see dogs in wheelchairs represented on television, right? You just don't see it very often. And very rarely do you see a dog that has a front end wheelchair that's represented.
right.
On television. And I remember thinking, you know what? Good for you, Bissell. Kudos. Because the more the public sees dogs in wheelchairs or animals in general with any type of disability, you know, your three-legged dogs, a dog with one eye. This morning, I saw a commercial with a German Shepherd with three legs. And I thought, this is great. It helps to draw attention to this population of animals. You know, essentially, we're sort of, you know, normalizing these dogs with wheelchairs and amputations and one eye. And it gets people familiar with handicapped animals, you know. And seeing them thrive is really important because these animals are out there. And I love following Austin, this dog, Austin Roo, because it's such a positive message, you know. And I think that, again, I think that oftentimes these dogs that have sensory or physical impairments are overlooked. And how great is it that this family shared their dog with us, right? And shared him with the world. And guess the people talking about dogs in wheelchairs. How great is that?
It's very great.
I know. So I won't delay this any longer, Chris, because I'm really excited to hear from our guest today, Ed Sisko, and he is the owner of Austin Roo. So please welcome Ed to the show.
Welcome, Ed. Glad to have you.
Morning. Glad to be here.
And it's not just Ed that is responsible, but his lovely wife, Kim, is also the co-owner of Austin Roo. And I saw on Instagram that she is dubbed the momager. Is that synonymous with like Austin Roo's manager, Ed?
Yeah, definitely. She's the one that handles all the social media. She's way more in tune with all that stuff than I am.
But she said you would be a better interviewee on the podcast. So here you are.
Yeah, she claims I'm the better public speaker. I disagree. But
well, yeah, when you have somebody who's a star power like Austin Roo, you really got to have a team, you know.
Exactly. Yep.
I saw that on his page. It says two paws, two wheels, one loud mouth, and one huge heart. Would you say that captures Austin Roo?
I think so. And that's pretty much him to a T.
Awesome. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about his story. You know, what's the backstory? When did you get him? How did you get him? You know, all of that good stuff that our audience, I'm sure, would love to know.
Yeah, sure. So Austin's now 4 years old. We think he's a mix between a shepherd, husky, and collie. He definitely howls like a husky, looks kind of like a collie with a little bit of shepherd in him. We've had him since he was just around 1 year old. A bit of his backstory is kind of unclear to us. What is clear from the vet records and stuff that we do have that we were given is that at some point early on in his life, he jumped out of either a car, a pickup truck, a Jeep, something like that, down in Austin, Texas, and wasn't able to get the help he needed in time. He was taken to be put down. And the vet tech that saw him saw the life in him and said, we can't put a dog like this down, even though he has a lot of damage to his front legs from jumping out of the car. We just need to get him the help he needs. And so from what we understand, she called a lot of the different rescues across the country that deal with pets with disabilities or take them in and help get the help they need. And the one that was able to take him was Pets with Disabilities, which is located here in Maryland where we live. And so this vet tech drove Austin as a 3-4 month old puppy all the way up to Maryland and handed him over to the folks, the great people over at Pets with Disabilities. From there, they took him to get checked out by the vets that they work with up here. And it was decided that the nerve damage was a little too much for his front legs from that accident and that the best route forward would be a double front amputation. And so they went along, I think, if I remember correctly, somewhere around 6 or 8 months old, he got a double front amputation. And then turns out that they do an open house every year to kind of show, let the public come in, see the dogs that they have and the cats and the other animals they have with disabilities, walk around the barns and the houses that they're all hanging out in. And my wife went down there with one of her girlfriends to kind of support them. One of her girlfriend has a three-legged cat that she got adopted from Pets with Disabilities. So they went down to support him. And Austin was there laying in a pile of blankets, maybe 3-4 weeks after surgery. And she just kind of gravitated to him and wanted to sit and sitting down with him for the couple hours they were there, and she didn't really leave his side, just hung out with him.
The dog was going home with you, that dog.
Yeah, she came home. She's like, met this really cool dog, really quiet, really tame, has some issues, but he's super calm, super sweet. And they're looking for someone to kind of foster him, help him out, help him get back on his feet, eventually train him how to use a wheelchair, all that kind of stuff. And so she wore me down to the point where I was like, okay, let's go visit him. So we went and visit him along with our, we have a dog that we've had for 9 years now, Reese. Took him down just to see, make sure that they're all going to get along. Wasn't an issue whatsoever. They took to each other right off the bat.
That's nice.
And yeah, met him. First time I met him, I instantly fell in love with him. I was like, this is one of the coolest beings I've ever seen. And just the perseverance and the determination and all of that. And so, yeah, took him home for, it was right around Thanksgiving. We said, let's bring him home for Thanksgiving. Let's see if he fits in. We'll foster him. We weren't sure in terms of needs. We both work full time. We live on in a house that has stairs, and didn't know if any of those things would be impediments. So we said, let's bring him home. Let's foster him. I think within the first 3 hours he was home, it was pretty much decided that he wasn't going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. Can I just say also, we should definitely give kudos to that veterinary technician. I'm so glad that she saw that spark in him. And I'm so glad that she took the initiative to find a place for him to go where he could have a surgery and find a family and thrive. So kudos to that vet tech.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think many people would have drove all the way from Austin, Texas to Maryland just to get a dog some help.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it sounds like it was love at first sight for all of you. And, you know, I've heard of foster fails before, but typically not in 3 hours. So I think that may be a record.
I mean, I think both of us kind of knew going on the bat that this fostering was the loose term, and it was as long as there was no like things that we just couldn't provide, that it was, we were going to wind up adopting him, but we didn't want to commit before we could make sure we.
Right. So you guys were all in emotionally, but as every person should do that is considering a new pet, you were doing your due diligence to make sure that you could provide Austin with the life that he deserved. And, you know, you mentioned stairs and, you know, the fact that you work and all of that. So, you know, again, that's terrific, you know, that you went that extra step and really thought things over.
Yeah. We had a lot of hesitations up front, because especially when, at that time, he had just gotten a wheelchair. So he was very uncomfortable in it. We didn't know how that would play out either. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of things in the air. We just wanted to make sure that we were doing the right thing for him at the end of the day, regardless of what the emotions were.
It was uncharted territory. You were learning all together.
Exactly. Yep.
Let me ask you this, the roux in Austin, Ed?
Yeah. The roux comes from, so he has a wheelchair. He's not the biggest fan of his wheelchair. He'd much rather be out of it. And at home, largely he is out of it. If you send him outside, play around with his brother, he'll jump, instead of trying to do any type of walking, he'll just jump up and down like a kangaroo. That's kind of his way of flying across the yard, trying to catch his brother, trying to catch the cat, squirrel, whatever it might be.
Amazing.
He's the epitome of determination.
100%. Yeah, he's right. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that wheelchair, because you know, we've actually done a couple of shows with we did an interview with Leslie Grinnell from Eddie's Wheels, and then we did another show Chris and I did separately about mobility carts in general. And it's not that often that we see, you know, dogs with front end wheelchairs, but we see them every once in a while. And oftentimes we see them with these little chihuahuas that have no front legs. They just have these little nubs. Mm-hmm. But can you sort of describe the process of like, I know he's not a huge fan of it, but how did you acclimate him to it? And I think there's definitely a learning curve with the front end wheelchairs. I think that there's a balance issue sometimes, and you might fall over a few times before you get it.
Absolutely. And he's still three, four years later, you're still falling over every now and again. It was a struggle. So we got our wheelchair from Eddie's Wheels. He went up there while he was still at the rescue, got custom fitted. When we got him, he'd only had it a few days or weeks. And for the first month, it was literally just me pushing him in the wheelchair, one house, two houses down the sidewalk, three houses down the sidewalk. And it was probably a few weeks where it was, he wouldn't walk unless you pushed him. Any little bump, acorn, rock, anything he saw was just immediately stopped because he knew he might flip over.
Yeah.
It actually took one day we were walking and there just happened to be another dog a couple houses down in front of us. And it took that, like, I want to meet that dog mentality for him to actually just decide to, like, okay, I'm going to do this on my own because I really want to go meet this other dog that's walking up there. And that was the first time where we actually got him to kind of go on his own. And once he was able to do that, then we could still do it. But at that point, we were still very much building up his strength. And so post-surgery and all that. So we were, once he kind of got used to that, it was then me kind of walking with him, making sure he's not going to tip over, but then my wife pulling a wagon behind us. And at some point, you know, he just gets too tired, throw him in the wagon, tow the wheelchair behind us, and then work on that. And so it was probably 4 to 6 months before he was able to kind of use it on his own, use it long scale. Now we can walk a couple miles and it's totally fine.
Nice. Did he have physical therapy after as well? Or was it stuff that you guys were doing at home to increase his strength?
It was just, it was just stuff at home to increase his strength. And,
good. Good. Excellent. I also see that you go hiking with Austin Rue. Can you tell us a little bit about your hiking?
Yeah. So he is in a wheelchair. He's comfortable on the street and on pavement. Once you hit dirt or gravel, or he knows because it's a front wheelchair that there's a high chance he's going to flip as soon as he hits a rock or something. So, our other dog Reese, we would always go hiking and swimming and stuff in the woods with him. And so we didn't want to remove that opportunity from Reese's life. So, we got a canine or some sort of, a backpack for the dog for Austin. So when we go hiking, we'll let him kind of burn some energy out, kind of walking on his two legs down the trail a little bit, and then he'll tire out. We'll throw him in the backpack and we'll keep hiking. And so I think it's useful. Reese is certainly a mountain dog and a woods dog. So he loves being in that space. And I think it gives Austin another area to just sniff and some stimulation to kind of different environments to kind of be put into.
Environmental enrichment, you know, even in the backpack, looking around the sights, the smells, taking it all in. I think it's fantastic. And he's so darn cute in that backpack. I've seen him. So darn cute.
He's a head turner when you walk by and you see this giant dog coming out of your backpack.
He really is. He really is. So I think it's great that he's able to be incorporated into that whole pack activity of walking and hiking. I think it's fantastic. And I like the idea to tire him out a little bit first. And then
we originally just tried to throw him right in and he's trying to squirm out this.
Right. Smart.
It does seem like you and Kim both have really thought through many things and problem solved, you know, things that were, you know, maybe initially like, oh, can we do this? I'm not sure. And then it became like, how do we do this? How do we make this happen versus just, you know, giving up? So I'm hearing a lot of, thought process and experimentation and, you know, trial and error and such kind of ringing through what you're describing, Ed.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we adopted him, our number one thing, we had two big things. One was we wanted to show people that he's just like any other dog at the end of the day. And other big thing is we wanted to make sure that we gave him as much of the opportunities as we could that we would give Reese or any other able-bodied dog. And so it's definitely, we've been trying to do everything. I think we've been able to accomplish pretty much everything that we would do with Reese or any other dog. We've been able to figure out some way that we can make him do it. Maybe not to the full capacity, like I said, with hiking, we throw them in the backpack, but still able to go out and do it. That's been our goal.
And back to the mobility cart, Kathy mentioned that front wheel carts are very unique. And I think that Eddie's Wheels is the only wheelchair company for dogs out there that engineered a front wheeled cart. And I know it was a big challenge for Ed Grinnell of Eddie's Wheels. And he thought about it and he tried different things and he finally, you know, came up with a product that worked. Because otherwise, I bet that it would be much more difficult if you didn't have that cart, if you didn't go through the process of training him, for Austin Rue to participate in some of the community activities that I've seen on Instagram. It allows him, you know, now you said he can go, a couple miles. I've seen him at baseball games. I've seen him at, you know, breweries. I've seen, you know, all these kinds of things. And typically he's in his cart. So I would imagine that he would tire out much more quickly. And, you know, if he went down on his chest, on the cement and things like that, he would have wounds. Possibly. And so, you know, the value of the cart, I think, you know, I just want our listeners to know that there's a time and a place, and, you know, that allows Austin Rue to utilize the cart and again, fully participate in the family's activities.
Yeah, definitely. Without the cart, we would definitely be significantly more limited in what we could do, like you said, because of either tiring out or just because of the hazards of him having to walk on his chest plate, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know a lot of people, you know, do find it challenging to get their dogs, you know, to move in the cart. Some take right off, no problem. And others, they're very reticent. And like you said, that other dog was the motivator. You know, sometimes it's a special treat. Sometimes, you know, it's, you know, chasing the owners. Sometimes it's keeping up with the pack or, you know, being drawn to something that is unique. So finding what that incentive is, what that lure to get them to move forward is, can be tough sometimes, but once you've got it, they've got it.
Yep.
Ed, how do other people respond to him when they see him out in his wheelchair or his backpack? Has he been met with kind remarks or questions, or how do people respond?
The first reaction is usually an awe or some sort of just a sound of amazement. When we first adopted him, we probably couldn't go three houses down without somebody pulling over the side of the road and asking about him. What's his backstory? What is he? How's he doing? What happened to him? All those kind of questions. So we got to the point where we were debating printing out a little FAQ sheet for him and handing it out. But as in the neighborhood, at least now, everybody knows him. Everybody knows where he lives, who he is. Anytime we go out, there's definitely some stares. It's usually stares of either amazement or just he's adorable. Every now and again, you get like the very just I have no idea what's going on there kind of look.
Have you ever say that people have a reaction of pity?
I don't think so, because I think you just looking at him, you know he's determined and you know that he's enjoying his life. And so I
would
so.
Agree. Yeah. I mean, on the socials that I know your wife is responsible for, I mean, he is inspirational and his messages are inspirational. You know, it seems like almost weekly there is a quote, that's posted, and, you know, it's really effective, I think, for people to relate, when they see, you know, Austin Rue succeeding, happy, when he's dealing with this predicament, let's say. And it's always signed, we've got this. And I love it that it's not, I've got this, it's we've got this. So you guys are really putting that message out there of positivity and really, especially, you know, during the pandemic that we've gone through recently and still going through, you know, giving people just that hope.
Yeah. I mean, the pandemic was kind of what started that whole sign idea. When it all lockdown first hit, we were like, what can we do? We can't do a whole lot, but what can we do to bring some positivity back to just our neighborhood? And so that's when I decided, let me just throw some random signs of positive messages up in our front yard, since we live on a corner of a somewhat busy street in the neighborhood. And if people like it, awesome. If they don't, it makes me feel good at least. And so once we started doing that, we were like, well, if we're sharing with the neighborhood, why not share it with everybody? So that's
share with the world, right? I enjoy those. I check them out every day when I'm doing Instagram. But, you know, I always, I think every podcast I mention how I'm always interested in the emotional lives of animals and just watching what he does and what he can accomplish, and just him being, you know, a dog and doing dog stuff it's fun and it's inspiring and it's great to watch. I can feel the happiness. I can feel the joy that comes from him, and you can see it, especially when he's in his backpack, you know, the the joy that comes from him. So I love the message.
Thanks. Yeah, I think he, as far as I know, he just thinks he's another dog. I don't even know that he definitely doesn't care that he isn't like the other dogs. He's going to do whatever he can and he'll figure out how to do it no matter what.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he just is just being a dog. He's not thinking I'm a two-legged dog. He's just like, I'm a dog and I'm going to go visit that dog, which makes me think, you know, how has he been received by other dogs? Do other dogs sort of like, do they engage with him? I'm sure from my opinion, they obviously see that there's some difference, you know, especially if he's in his wheelchair, but will other dogs approach him as well and be, you know, playful or?
Yeah, definitely. So we'll often take him to places by us called Bark Social, which are kind of like dog parks / bars. And there's typically one of two reactions. One, some dogs kind of just don't even care that he's in a wheelchair and they're just like, hey, let's play. And there's definitely other dogs where they'll go up to him and as soon as his wheelchair kind of moves, they get a little spooked. But they'll keep coming back and they usually warm up. And by the end of it, they'll be playing.
Like that's okay. That's all right. Yeah.
There's never been an aggression. So it's always either been like, hey, let's do this. Or like, let me feel you out a little bit before we commit here.
Nice.
I noticed that he is also quite the traveler. You guys went and saw the cherry blossoms at their height in DC. And he attended the St. Patrick's Day parade in full regalia. He always has, he's a snappy dresser.
Yep.
And his wheelchair is always well adorned in theme as well, or it certainly was for the parade, the St. Patrick's Day parade. So I'm sure that he does get a lot of attention. And I've seen, you know, in some of those pictures that are just awesome, you know, but the people like in the background, right? And their reaction, like, you know, mouth agape and, you know, grinning ear to ear, which I have been throughout this podcast, you know, just, my jaw is starting to hurt because I've been smiling so much.
Can we talk a little bit about how Austin Rue got to be on the Bissell commercial? How did that happen?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story. We have a friend / photographer that is a local guy who does pet portraits and stuff like that. And we had been going, getting our Christmas photos or our Valentine's Day photos or whatever, birthday photos, whatever it might be. My wife's very big on getting all those kind of cutesy photos. So we would go to him and he knew a trainer who did a lot of work with entertainment, either commercial or TV, with dogs and getting animals involved. And I guess Bissell had reached out to her and said, we want to do a commercial with a handicapped dog. Do you know anybody? And she had seen his photos from the photographer's Instagram. And I was like, I need to figure out who that dog is and who those owners are. And those are the people that you need to get on there. And so she reached out to the photographer who reached out to us. And that's how we got put in contact with Bissell.
So it was like a serendipitous kind of thing, like those, you know, 2-3 degrees of separation. You know, it just kind of was luck of the draw, but
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The fact that this had happened, you know, in terms of, you know, Kim seeking out the photographer, having the photos posted, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. I think a lot of people are interested in, you know, how do I get my pet on TV, right?
Yeah. For us, it was pure coincidence. It wasn't something we were in no means trying to seek it out.
Well, does he, now that he's a star, a national star, because it's a national Bissell commercial, right. Does he have any other gigs lined up, Ed?
Not at the moment, no.
But you just wait.
Yeah. My fear is he might be too recognizable.
I hope he doesn't get a big head and then he's like, you know, I'll be in my trailer. I'll be in my trailer.
So we talked about Reese and that Reese accepted him, you know, very early on. You have a cat too, right? Onyx?
We do have a cat, Onyx. Yep.
And how has Onyx reacted?
I think Onyx could take him or leave him.
like most cats.
Yeah. Austin definitely sees Onyx as the play. Like, I'm going to chase you and I'm going to try to come and get you. So he kind of startles him every now and again. I'm not sure he's a huge fan of that. But I think at the end of the night, they're all up on the couch together cuddling. And
nice.
Seen lots of cuddle pictures.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So... Have you considered having Austin be a therapy dog? Is that something you guys have thought about?
Yeah, so he actually is. So my wife and Reese have been very big in pet therapy since we got Reese, they've been doing visits all over through Pets with Disability, or I'm sorry, Pets on Wheels. And we recently got Austin certified through that for Pets on Wheels. So he can actually go, we have gone out, done some things like college de-stress days around finals, some reading programs with kids at libraries where they're learning to read and they'll read to the dogs. So we're just starting to get into that space, but it's definitely something we're going to pursue more.
We might have to introduce you to a gentleman that we interviewed early on when we started Pet Ability Podcast, Dominic Scudera, who has three two-legged dogs.
Oh, wow.
I know. And he's so passionate about them. And I think one of them is a therapy dog. Is that right, Chris?
One is definitely a therapy dog. And Ed, what makes his pack of two-legged is unique is that one of his dogs has back legs, one of his dogs has front legs, and one of his dogs has legs on the same side of his body.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Deuce, yeah.
So it's all different conformations, if you will. And they're all thriving. And, you know, so again, getting that message out there and they can just help so many people because, like you said, it's just inspiring to see these dogs doing dog things, just being everything dog and not feeling sorry for themselves.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So did I also see I think it was a video of Austin Rue swimming. He jumped into a pool.
No fear.
Yeah. Tell me about that, Ed.
Yeah. No fear is right. like I said, Reese is a mountain dog and he always would love to go. We would go hiking. We'd hit a lake or hit a stream. He'd jump right in and start swimming around. So we wanted to figure out a way to make that possible for Austin. And we didn't know if you have no front legs, can you swim? We didn't know. So back to your point earlier about ingenuity, we kind of designed this big contraption out of PVC pipes and pool noodles and stuff to try to keep him above water when we put him in the water. Then we took him down to a stream one day, put him in. He clearly didn't need it. Clearly, like a life jacket was pretty much all he would need to get in there and start swimming around. The contraption we built was just too big and bulky for him. But yeah, clear that he was a water dog. He wanted to be in the water. He loved the water. And so now he wears a life jacket, jumps in just like any other dog would, spins around, splashes around like a maniac, whether that's in a river, like you saw in the pool, he'll jump in at the end of the year. By us, the community pool opens up to dogs for a day, just jumps right in and out, in, out, in, out for hours on end. And we go paddleboarding out in the Chesapeake Bay. And so we'll paddle out a little way. So I'll just jump out, start swimming around for 20 minutes. Like I said, he doesn't know that he's disabled and he just goes.
Wow. You know, Chris, amazing.
Chris, this might actually be a great time to, talk about our sponsor, Heads Up Pets Water Collar, while we're talking about Austin Rue swimming, because it's a great product for dogs that have amputations. It keeps their head and nose above the water.
Yeah, it's a perfect time to talk about Heads Up Pets Water Collars. You know, to your point, Ed, you know, you didn't know. And, you know, so you went to this, you know, elaborate measures to make sure that it was safe and comfortable. And, you know, and fortunately, Austin Rue is, like you said, a water dog. But, you know, maybe there are dogs out there with amputations that are a little bit more reticent, not as comfortable. The Heads Up Pets water collar gives them that confidence, right? Because it keeps their head and nose above water at all times, even if they're unconscious, asleep in the pool when they're lounging.
So even if they have an accident, so if you were boating or something and there was an accident, the dog became unconscious, they would still float. Their head and nose would still be above the water.
Right. It's unique. And it's something that the life vest just doesn't offer. So, I think, you know, any dog is a great candidate for the Heads Up Pets water collar, but certainly a dog with an amputation or the front limb amputation, because we know that typically dogs use their front legs more than their back legs when they swim, you know, that's the doggy paddle.
Right.
So yeah.
So visit our friends at Heads Up Pets and get your water collar ordered today. And if you use our promo code PETPOD22, that's PETPOD22, you'll get 10% off your order.
Absolutely. And their alternative website is aptly named savedogsfromdrowning.com. So you can find them at either website. And again, Pet Pod 22. Do it. Summer is upon us.
Yeah, they're doing good work out there. They're doing good work, those ladies.
So, Ed, is there anything else, you know, that you would like to describe in terms of Austin Rue and kind of what a typical day in the life is? I mean, we've certainly got a picture of, you know, his activities and then when he's, you know, not out and about and being an ambassador for other handy capable dogs. It sounds like he's very content at home lounging around when he's not chasing Onyx. Is there something else that you would like to share with us?
I think the biggest thing to share is just, like I said, when we first brought him in to foster slash adopt, we were really hesitant because we thought there'd be all these extra needs and all these considerations and accommodations we'd have to make. And it turned out at the end of the day that he, just like any other dog, the only thing he can't do, well, the only thing we tried to dissuade him from doing is going up and down the stairs. We've seen him on the camera go up the stairs when we're not paying attention.
Wow.
Yeah. At the end of the day, that's the only thing. We just have to carry him up to bed at night, carry him back down in the morning. Other than that, he's just literally like any other dog, just like Reese, eats the same, like no accommodations anywhere else. And so our initial concern of this might be way too much to handle, it really wasn't. It's really next to no additional effort. And maybe we're unique in that. Maybe Austin's unique in that. But we were pleasantly surprised in how capable he is and how just like any other dog on the street he is.
Yeah. And it's a reminder for all of us too, that, you know, there is an owner for every pet out there. You know, so many dogs, you know, face euthanasia and, but given the chance, they will find their people and their people will find them. And, you know, I just want to, for people out there that you know, maybe it wouldn't be your choice to have a dog with special needs, you know, don't judge others. You know, those dogs are living their best life and it's not lesser than in any sense.
Right. And I really appreciate the fact that you share Austin Rue with the world, because the more the world is exposed, the more the world sees animals that are differently abled, the more it makes people stop and think and maybe not turn away from that dog at the shelter that's missing a leg or a limb because they saw Austin Rue and they saw how great he was doing. And they're like, you know what? We don't want to overlook this dog. And exposing, you know, the public to dogs that have any type of disability, whether it be physical or sensory impaired, I think also leads to maybe less euthanasias of these dogs and more people considering the adoption of these dogs.
Yeah, definitely. Don't be afraid just because they look a little different.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I also want to give kudos to you and Kim, Ed, because, you know, you did embrace this and you are getting that message out there. And, you know, even though you said, and it didn't end up being, you know, that much different, and, you know, that is certainly ringing through here, but, you know, it is a commitment and you guys have embraced that commitment. You've gone above and beyond, you know, whether it was, you know, putting that sign out for inspiration in your yard to, you know, posting on Instagram to, he has stickers. There are Austin Rue stickers, Kathy, that.
Well, I need Austin Rue stickers. And, yeah. I need those.
Yeah. And like Amsterdam, was it, Ed, that you guys were.
Yeah. We just went to Amsterdam. My wife put a sticker up on outside a street light pole outside of one of the famous bakeries. And a couple of days later, we got a message. Hey, we saw this in Amsterdam. We love your dog.
Yeah. I mean, this is, most people wouldn't go to these links. So, you know, I just wanted to mention, you know, how great you are too. And you should feel very, very good about what you're doing and how all of you are changing this world to make it a better place.
Thank you very much.
And can you, as we're wrapping up, Ed, can you let people know where they can find Austin Rue if they want to see his pictures, his social media?
Yeah, he's on Instagram at the Austin Rue.
Perfect. We'll put that in our show notes so people can follow him.
Again, that's at the Austin Rue, because he is the one and only Austin Rue. And I also want to tell folks that we will have links to Eddie's Wheels, Heads Up Pets, Water Collars, the Bissell commercial, Pets on Wheels, and other organizations as it relates to our chat here today.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ed. Thank you for joining us. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Ed. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed our show. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Petability Podcast.
For more information about Kathy's books and living with blind dogs, please visit enableyourpet.com. Thank you, and please tune in next time.